Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God that we hold dear in our hearts this afternoon is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 23 verses 39 to 43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God now, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. We have a tendency to make memorials for two reasons. On the one hand, we want to remember and honor those who have done some great deed. And so we've got memorials like Mount Rushmore, our four greatest presidents. And on the other hand, we want to remember those who have suffered when some great tragedy or some evil deed was done to them. And so we have Gettysburg, and Pearl Harbor, and I think there's a monument where the two towers were. But what about a memorial for those evil things we have done to others? What about a memorial that doesn't say, "Remember what others did to us," but says, "Look what terrible people we are. Let us remember and never let it happen again." Why is it that we have a memorial to Pearl Harbor, but not one to remind us of Hiroshima and Nagasaki? I don't want to debate whether it was necessary or good to drop the bombs, but even if it was necessary, it was still a terrible thing. Good Friday is unique in that it is a memorial in both ways. It is a memorial of the great thing that Jesus did for us, and that's why we call it Good Friday and why we sing praises to God and rejoice. He is a hero because of what he did for us. But it is also a memorial of our sin and the evil that we have done to him and to one another, and a reminder that we need to shape up and try not to do it again. However, you may notice that the theme in our bulletin this morning is neither of these two things. It doesn't focus on our need to remember our sins, nor on our need to remember what Jesus did for us. In fact, it doesn't focus on us remembering anything, does it? Instead, it's a plea that Jesus ought to remember us, which is far more important than what we remember about him. We have been discussing throughout our Lenten services the things that we should, need to, ought to remember. But far more important than what we remember is what Jesus remembers. We have a tendency always, according to our sinful nature, to always try and outdo one another. If our brother catches a 15-inch fish, we need to catch an 18-inch fish. If our brother catches 8, we need to catch 9. We always want to outdo one another. I remember one of my friends in India coming up to me once, and he wanted my help in buying the parts to build a new computer. And so he had all the specs laid out there that he wanted in this new computer, and I was looking through the list, and there it said an i7 processor. And I said to him, "Well, why do you need an i7 processor? It's $250 more than the i5, and you're never going to use that extra processing power." He said, "Well, my brother has an i5, so I need mine to be better. I need the i7. He was willing to spend $250 just to prove that he was better. Like we talked about last Sunday, That's the sinful desire within us to always outdo one another. Most of the time, this is a sinful desire. However, there is one contest in which maybe we ought to try and not outdo, but prove that we have already outdone one another. That's the one that Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul claimed that he was the best at sinning. He's not bragging about it, of course. What do you think? Do you think you could outdo Paul's sinning? Or hopefully not trying to sin more, but outdo proving that you have sinned more in the past? I know I could probably prove that I'm a greater sinner than Paul without even breaking a sweat. Okay, what about the criminals on the cross in our gospel reading this morning? Can we prove that we're better, worse criminals than they are? We often refer to the one as the thief on the cross, and our text, our New King James Version, refers to both of them as criminals. But actually, the word in the Greek is much worse than that. It's not just someone who stole or someone who committed some minor crime. The word in the Greek implies someone who is a violent, hardened criminal. These two men probably took place in a rebellion against the Romans, probably killed many people. The word in the Greek refers to people such as Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy. And even the fact that they're on the cross shows that they were such people. The Romans saved execution by the cross for the worst of the worst. These were not just simple sinners. They were murderers, rebellious people. So are my sins greater than theirs? Well, it doesn't really matter. Maybe I'm a little worse. Maybe someone would say I'm slightly better or the same. But what does matter is that we are all sinners. And as Paul confesses, Christ came to save sinners like them and like me. Christ remembered even such a great sinner as this one. And remember, as we've been talking about, when Christ remembers his people, it means he is acting to save them. So Christ remembered this thief who prayed to be remembered and saved him. As the thief hung on the cross, he was probably firsthand witness to what it means to be remembered by Christ. He saw Christ remember his disciples, as we talked about last night, giving to them the institution of the Lord's Supper and showing love and concern for them even while he was hanging on the cross. He saw Christ remember his mother and provide for her and take care of her even as he suffered on the cross. And he saw Jesus remember even the Roman soldiers as they were pounding the nails into his hands. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Remember that this thief, this murderer on the cross, was probably on the cross for rebellion against the Romans. He would have considered these people the evilest and vilest of men. That was the normal attitude that Jews of that time had towards Roman soldiers. And yet he saw Jesus forgive them, remember them, act in love and salvation towards them. Very likely could have been that very moment that changed this man's heart. Maybe it was that very thing, at that very point to which God's word worked on his heart, and he saw Jesus remembering and saving even those who were pounding nails into his hands, and he thought, if he remembers them, perhaps he'll remember me also. Whatever moment it was, there's no doubt his heart was changed. From a man who was always making excuses for his sin to one who fell on Christ's mercy with the simple plea, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It was not his works. It was not his ability to remember and repent of his own sin. It was not even his ability to remember who Jesus was that saved that man. It was nothing he did at all. But it was the fact that Jesus remembered him and brought him into his kingdom. That's our plea and our prayer this Friday also. That Jesus would remember us, whether our sins are less or more. Nevertheless, it's clear that we are sinners. And our ability to remember him is not nearly as important as the fact that he does remember us and acts on that. And he has most assuredly remembered us. He remembered this murderer. He remembered those Romans. He has remembered us, even if we are the greatest of sinners. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.